Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Good evening and welcome to Ever Beyond. I'm kind of flying blind a little bit because I can't hear anything in my headphones. I don't even know if you heard anything on that jingle there. But good evening, and tonight we will be talking about the now. What an amazing time we're having. What things are going on in the world, and not only in the world, but above the world, around the world, at the same time, in different parallel realities, and all those other things that go beyond our reality in our everyday life. So, we've been talking about what is becoming the new normal, and I just got a bit of echo there. Somebody's done something with their mic. That's good. So, we'll be talking this evening with Tracy Kennedy and Cat Wolf, because I know that they are very sensitive to the energies of the times and they can express themselves very well. So, I've invited them on this evening to dip our fingers in the toe in dip our fingers into we're not leprous now dip our fingers into the pond of now and see what the temperature is. So let me welcome on Tracy Kennedy. Good evening, Tracy.
Hello, Jay. Thank you so much for inviting me tonight.
You're welcome. And Cat Wolf, good evening.
Good evening to you. Good evening, Tracy. And it's a pleasure and an honour to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have another British voice as well. Very interesting.
Be careful what you call me now. Be careful what you call me.
I said British. Ish.
Ish, yeah. Kind of. Mm.
So, I've had a hell of a week, and it involved also the 11/11/11 thing, and for once, I really felt something has moved, something has changed this week. What do you think, my friends? Tracy.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that. For me, yeah, this week, and I'm with you, Jay, I thought this was pretty much crap. I thought it was crap on crap on a bunch of crap that they formed into a crap ball that threw it. But, yeah, I felt a change, and I've seen a change in people, seen a change in their faces. I'm sensitive to such things, and I've been complaining for months and months about the zombiness I see in people, but now it's like people have been shocked by something and are either becoming more human or less human. Or more another species and no longer human. I can't even say what it is, Jay, but I've seen a change in consciousness. And I never thought I'd see this. I never saw that I'd see a paradigm shift, a consciousness shift, a jello shift, a shifting margarita, whatever you want to call it. I thought this was all a whole bunch of somebody wants to sell more books based on other people's theories. But I'm with you. Seeing it.
And lo and behold, something has happened. Kat, what have you felt anything? Tell me what you felt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's been many, many, many shifts. I felt a lot of filtering going on. That's purifying what needs to be purified at this time, as far as I'm concerned. I've seen old people or people from the past return. I've seen things being raked up again and brought up again, which for me is, let's start the show on a positive note. But for me, it's to remember that we must stay positive when all around us seems to be so negative, because positive and negative are needed. And I feel that it really is the way that you see it, as you said there. I've had a hell of a week, and as Tracy said, poetically put, rubbish on top of rubbish on top of rubbish, and made into a ball of rubbish. But for me, it's been one where I've been able to concentrate more on my meditation, getting back to my own, shall we say, center, core, pin point energies. So when I see things swirling up a little bit like a tornado outside, as it were, because we are in the quickening, and I don't want to be in the tail of that when it lashes out. So I step aside and I walk my path, and I allow the tornado that's happening now to move forward. But I've seen people looking very sad, people not looking with it, as Tracy says. They really remind me of drones, very much of drones. But I feel that because there's a lot of emphasis on it, that maybe people are seeing what they want to see because it's been put out there, the mind control kind of thing, because they put you into the brain state that they want you in. So with the 11/11 Remembrance Day, if you like, and then not only do you have the 11/11 on Friday, you have Remembrance Sunday over here. So you've 2 days in the weekend to remember how sad and horrid things really are out there. Well, for me, it's like this. What did I see horrible this week? Nothing that wasn't put in front of me from another media or something that I clicked into. So my week was kind of calm and relaxing and kind of building up for a new year for me, due to the fact that it's actually what they call my birthday today. So the 13th, I always love the 13th of the month. So I get a bit of an energy high, if you like, when it comes around to the number 13 in a month. Almost halfway through the month for me. So it's been maybe a different week for me to many other people. But I've seen it as quite a positive week, but viewing it with my eyes, really quite down, negative kind of week for others, which was sad for them, I guess.
Mm. Well, it's certainly been a struggle. On another level, you could say it's certainly been facing with opportunities. It's really annoying, you know, when people say, you know, you want somebody to feel sorry for you, and they said, well, look at all those challenges you've been given. There's a challenge for me to not want to hit them. But anyway, actually, I'm a very non-violent person. I wouldn't ever hit anybody, you know. I don't do that sort of thing. So, meanwhile, we've been looking at the energies that have been coming, and are either of you astrologers?
Not per se, but I love the stars, you know. Mm.
Yes, more and of a sky watcher.
Things. I'm a sky watcher.
Yeah. Mm. Like myself. Yeah, it'd be nice to have, if anybody's listening who wants to join in this conversation, who is an astrologer, to see what's going on astrologically. I have no idea. I mean, all I've got to go by is my own personal life, and I see how people are around me. And this week, I went down to London. I had to, drove down to London and spent a lot of it listening to David Wilcock's new book. So I'm completely immersed in the source field. And it's a fascinating book. It's really, really good. And I'm two-thirds of the way through the audio book, which is 19 hours. So it's quite a marathon. But it is great to take on a journey. My little headphones and on my smartphone. It's amazing to just carry that amount of knowledge around in my pocket. Fantastic to have a pocket computer. I'm just so chuffed with these things. People don't realize, you know, like an iPhone or a smartphone is such a powerful device, and it's something that we all just thought we were going to have in the future, and now that future's here.
Okay. The changes are amazing, miraculous, really.
Well, you've certainly undergone a personal miraculous transformation, haven't you, Trace?
Well, I really have. I've suffered with something they labeled as an illness, and basically told me I should make preparations because within a year I'd be hospitalized. That was 2 years ago. They apparently, now when I say they, I even have a name for these people. These are the top neurologists in Canada, which are basically the top neurologists on the planet, who said, basically they said to me, we don't know how you're walking or speaking, and that's weird. And I went, well, weird is a diagnosis now, doctor? Thank you. Mm-hmm. And truly this happened, and I haven't had any more lesions in 2 years, two full years. Not only have they not progressed, there's been changes. I'm on a new alternative diet recently, and it's still by doctors, believe it or not. There's some doctors in Toronto trying weird things. They're the ones who came out with, maybe you should just take more vitamin D. And that was pretty much buried. But these same doctors called me back and said, we've got something. It's odd. We thought you'd like it. Will you try? I have. For the last 4 days, I've tried their new diet, which is basically high fat. And basically, what would have been the Nunavut Inuit diet, the people that are called Eskimos way up north who didn't get MS until 3 years ago, basically, on a high fat diet. I'm on a high fat diet.
Wow, yummy.
Loving it.
Excellent. That's what I want to hear. Things that are yummy and are good for you. Sorry, go ahead.
Good for you. That's a combo. Doesn't it just make sense that things we would naturally eat in the winter? There's not too many places on the planet, other than southern, of course, that you can still get fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. Most of us above that line are getting stuff trucked in or biked in or flown in that have been picked not ripe and been in Lord knows what kind of conditions, and we get it, and some of them even label them organic, but we don't know what trucks they've been in. We don't know what was sprayed next to them. I am not a big proponent of organic, and I know people will argue with me on this, but if it's not grown by you, I think there's probably some bigger force that put you here on this planet in this place and thinks they know what you should be eating. Outrageous, yes. But most of my family up here eat meat and mostly fat in the winter. Now, I have to go in a weird diet because you can't eat much deep water fish anymore. You can, but you probably shouldn't. The people
it's way up full of diesel.
Yeah, it's they're getting poisoned. We talked about that with Kat on Friday, and it's no longer clean. So I'm eating cleaned fats, basically. And stuff like, now this is organic and it's hilarious, but organic pate, have you ever heard of such a stuff? I'm eating fats and pate, and occasionally I get to put in a little bit of berry that's from here. And in 4 days, I felt a change. 4 days, loves.
Brilliant.
Sardines, yes, sardines are allowed, Terry. Sardines are one of the few things that apparently can eat everything, and they just, they're still good.
You know, I was having a conversation with Cosmic Mind a few weeks ago. I don't know if you were in on that conversation. I think you were away that day. But basically, we were talking about orgonite. And the structure of orgonite is you have two essential active elements of it. One is layers of metal and layers of organic material. And that attracts the orgon to it. And then you have another layer, which is made of crystalline elements under pressure, which cause the crystals to vibrate and then emit energy. So it acts as a pump, and there's the one part draws in energy and the other part pumps it out, refreshed. The general conclusion is that this is part of our transformation, that we become orgonite. And so what I'm getting to is all these metals that we've digested, our body is able to encapsulate them eventually. One way, you know, if you get a splinter and your body can't push it out, what it will do is it'll encapsulate it, it'll wrap it in layers insulate it from the surrounding area. So if you get an injury or a wound that goes deeply, and then the skin heals over it, what will happen is that the foreign object inside will get a layer on top of it. It'll kind of soften it out. That's the way your body deals with it. So if you've got all these pockets of metal all around you, and our silica and our blood is liquid crystal, then the metal can be employed to good use. So what I'm saying is essentially, don't worry about the metal. Don't worry about poisons, because it's all good for us. Because we can handle it. We're all like Rasputin, really.
Well, I absolutely feel that you're correct. And when I'm speaking to people on a level where it's kind of teaching sessions, I go through things to do with filtering within our own bodies, within our own vehicle, and filtering that into what is good for us. And people say, yes, because we must have everything good and positive. And I said, well, that's not necessarily so, you know. We need dark and light. We need positive and negative. You know, yin and yang, everybody knows. So we need balance, and we need our body to do what it thinks it needs to do instead of trying to interfere. And this is why when I go into healing of the self, I like to speak of filtering and to kind of embrace everything that we have. And I start with a simple thing to do with purifying, if you like, and healing a glass of water, so that you do not put out too much of what you want more just your intention. What is your intent when you do this thing? Well, well-being and balance, and it's kind of to do with the overall thing, isn't it, really, rather than pinpointing and saying, I want to zap and I want to get rid of and I want to have only. Well, I think once you do that, you're beginning a kind of war within yourself, which will radiate out, as we know, with everybody's surroundings. So, you know, instead of fighting, we need to just embrace and say, okay, so I've ingested these things, whatever they may be. And I mean, you have people that have studied chemtrails and water until literally it's coming out their ears, you know. So people can stay on that turnstile, if you like, or that treadmill, if you like, that they like you to be on in the, quote, truth agenda, because there is one of those also, people, in case you don't know, the same as Occupy Wherever. It's all part of it, you know, it's all part of the revolution business, and it's been going for many, many years. So we must try to ignore, if we can, just let them get on with it. Let them do whatever they're doing, because we'll deal with us. And as you say there, to cut a long story short, that yes, our bodies will deal with things. It's only when man tries to control that trouble comes in the way. So instead of trying to control all of this, and then you go into a panic state and stress out about what you have ingested in the day, it's not good for us. So we must just say, okay, so that's happened, and you know what, I'm going to embrace that, because whatever they're putting out there must have come from Mother Earth in the first place, whether it was made in a laboratory or whatever. But it didn't come from nowhere that's ever been before. It may be a new structure of something, if they've genetically modified it, as it were, but it will still have come from Mother Earth, still organic in some way, even if it's chemical. So let's just be.
Yeah, there's organic and there's organic... Yeah, yes, as in organic chemistry. Organic. Yeah, and there's organic as in non-pesticide free. I mean, I think really it's there are combinations. It's like frequencies. There are good frequencies and bad frequencies. There are frequencies that can harm and frequencies that can heal. And it's often very individual that you get one frequency that is good for one person. You know, so I don't really go for these solfeggio thingies. Myself, I
mean, I'm not too sure. No, I'm not 100% sure about them, I must say.
So,
because of the people that are involved with it, so we have our own frequencies, and I think it's time to start tuning into them. And you were looking for something to do with what's going on astrologically today, and as you were talking a moment ago there, I just thought, oh, quickly tap in and see what's happening.
You mean you weren't listening to my every word?
Yes, I was. I'm a multitasker, for goodness sake. I'm a woo man. I can multitask. But as we kind of have learned to accept, if you like, that the planets and what's going on up there really does affect us in many ways. And I'll just read a little bit of this. Mars in Virgo likes to stay busy with continual actions towards the idea of perfection. You are happy when you feel productive and can see the tangible fruits of your labour. Now, if we just take that one sentence, well, it's two sentences actually, though we can see why people may well be feeling down now, because all that's portrayed to them, people losing their jobs, there is no jobs, you can never do enough to satisfy a boss, can you, you know, and then you go home and you haven't done enough to satisfy everyone at home, so you're not really being allowed to feel productive, you know, if you're in the person world, if you see what I mean.
Well, certainly last week I felt that. I mean, I failed to turn up to two shows because of the time zone differences. I totally lunched out over that last weekend. And then I got busier.
The tangible fruits.
Yeah, I got busier, but I did end up with a couple of results. In that, I've I managed to scrap my hearse. I have a hearse. Well, I had a hearse, an old Ford Granada hearse thing, coffin carrying thing. And I'm now going to use the coffin holder, which is this lovely piece of plywood with all these knobs and sockets and things on the top. And I'm going to put a table saw underneath it. It's going to be great. So
in the hearse, is this?
It's not in the hearse anymore. The hearse is gone. But the,
oh, I was going to say, is this so that it's easier to fit people in small packages?
Or? No, I just love table saws to make furniture with and things like that.
Okay, I was just going to say, Tracy, would you not be a little bit worried if you saw a man pull up with a hearse that actually had a circular saw inside the back of it?
Depends,
yeah. No, but I don't have the hearse anymore. I've just got the table saw. So it's like the last remnant of the hearse is the table saw, and it's going to be immortalized, as it were, because it's going to be used as a...
plants in there, no?
I did try to grow some tomato plants in it once, but it was rather... it got hot in the daytime and cold in the night. There wasn't much temperature stability in it, like in any vehicle. I should have held tanks of water inside it, because that's what they do. You have a tank of water inside a place, and in the daytime it absorbs the heat and gives it out slowly overnight.
Yeah.
Passive thermal mass. So, but meanwhile,
that it held before.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
What about the creepiness that it held before that?
I didn't see it as creepy. I mean, other people projected onto this thing, but I just thought it was the funniest thing. I must have a macabre sense of humor, because I was just laughing all the way when I was driving it. I'm driving a hearse. It's crazy. But one of the reasons that I had it is because there's been this kind of legend about hearses is that that they're run in. You know, when you have a new engine, in the old days you had these cast iron rings that had to wear very slowly down until they fitted perfectly the cylinder. Nowadays the cylinders are more perfect, so you don't really need to run them in. But the idea is that you drive the engine very slowly and very carefully for the first 500 miles, for the first 1,000 miles, and these rings bed gently into the thing. And the idea of a hearse is that you've had this engine that has been run slowly all of its life. And so the legend is that it goes like a rocket. Now, it had a V6 3-litre engine in it. It weighed 2 tons, and... it went like the proverbial off a stick. It was brilliant. You know, you put your foot down and it was like driving a turbo, but it was just a really well-running V6 engine. So it guzzled loads of gas. We used it for a couple of gigs because we had a PA system that we took in it. And most of the time we just laughed. It was a great humorous thing, and it was about 6 months before our relationship ended, so it did mark the end of it. So, it but it's not, you know, sometimes death isn't a bad thing, and as far as I'm concerned, it was just a vehicle that took people on their last journey, and I saw the beauty in it, and the ordinary jobness of it. It's just like a bus, you know, a bus that takes people to work every day, or, you know, an aeroplane that takes people to work every day. It's just a thing. Not creepy at all.
It's just a vehicle is your vehicle is your vehicle.
Exactly. It's just, you know, just a vehicle to carry old, unused, recyclable meat suits.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, what are they doing?
Moving swiftly on.
And as we do from death, you know, there we do. It's not, it's, you know, don't be obsessed about people's death, because they've just been released. You know, they're looking down and you're thinking...
If you feel that anything dies?
Well, it's just the body, and it's no longer animate. And that's what we mean by dead. But the spirit is always eternal. You You just, it probably still feels the same. You know, that's the interesting thing, that there's no difference between being here in our body and being out of our body, except our body doesn't feel it anymore. You know,
that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, you step outside, and again, you step outside of your meat suit, and it just flops.
I honestly do not feel that anything can die if it were once living. Because my view is, if you like, that something that is energy, you can't kill energy. If you try to destroy energy, all you create is more energy, more of that energy, or it will split off and become whatever energy. As I was saying there, you know, you shouldn't be fighting it because it does exactly the same thing. While you're trying to laser blast it within you, all you're having is the mushroom effect, if you like. And what I mean by that is the spores of the mushroom. Once you pop a mushroom and the spores go everywhere, they literally go everywhere and anywhere. So you don't really know where it's going to land. And that's why cancer spreads, as it were. You know, rather than trying to deal with this and contain it, as you were saying earlier, you know. And we can use kind frequencies for this, you know. All you need are kind frequencies, because there are enough frequencies out there for negativity to last eternity, all eternity. So we need to balance that, you know. And also, judging has got to be one thing that stops, don't you think? Because people would have been judging your vehicle that you were driving in, the same as...
Oh, yeah, everybody today does. It's amazing the response that people have to it. And I take it as a kind of yardstick as to how evolved people are, as to how they respond to a hearse.
Yeah.
There was one lady who knocked on the door saying, "Can you move it? Because there's a lady who thinks she's going to die soon and doesn't want to be reminded of it." And I would have thought, well, you know, if you're facing it, then stop being scared of it and just prepare to make sure everything's done. Don't take on any new projects. Not unless you can do them quickly, you know.
Yeah, but why not? Somebody else will finish it, won't it?
Well, you know.
Possibly. If not, it'll be the...
Well, that's karma, isn't it?
Never got finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like doing it, do it, you know, not just because you know you can finish it.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is don't prepare, don't be scared of what's coming. And prepare for it. And I think that goes for just about any of the you might come across doom and gloom scenarios or transformation scenarios, is, you know, don't worry about it. Just make sure that your life is in order.
Well, I think with the depopulation plan that is out there, if it is indeed out there, what they would want you to do most is to worry and panic. So we don't worry, we stay calm and we plan. You know, and we try to enjoy what is. And I mean, talking about the frequencies and the astrological way of looking at things at the moment, I mean, we could see what we could draw here. I mean, from this part alone, okay? So Mars and Virgo are what we're talking about at the moment, which is very much two things, very much, we know, to help you draw love for a start and to start enjoying relationships and what have you, and being fruitful in them too, if you can use honesty. But this can guide you in fine detailing in any work field that you want to get into, so you can draw on this energy to bring out the gift or the talent that you have. So we're working positively with the frequencies, and then you can get lost, if you like, in the process, is what it's basically telling you here. And so you can then fulfill work in the rhythm that you want to, that matches you, and then you can set and sense your own devotion to this thing. So these two planets can help you with the devotion that you need to particular things, if you like. to really help you to focus. So I think that's a good thing at the moment. And I think if you're not focusing, or, you know, you're very well wayward because there's not a lot of clarity going on at the moment, there's a lot of stress and fog. So if we can clear some of that and focus, and really have focus on what you want to do, I think you're going to see some amazing things. If you can just sit and analyze a situation, you know, in a non-biased way, just for a moment. But that's my view also.
It's interesting. The and 2422 and on, hi there. They nearly drowned when they were 14, and they felt very calm at the point. And tonight's show I called Point of Entry, and as I usually name things, often by some kind of random inspiration, and I don't even know where I think I was out of, I had my eyes out of focus, and I looked at a bunch of text, and the word point of contact, the words point of contact popped out at me, and I thought, yeah, that is actually what we're talking about, because I believe that... you know, this 11-11-11 thing. Now, I was there in London, right on the point of GMT at 11 o'clock, and I left the ground, my aeroplane that I was flying on, not my aeroplane, the aeroplane that I was flying on, was just taking off at 11 o'clock, and I was doing a meditation. I just, you know, as I was rising up, just trying to connect with as many people, as many light workers and other minds and fellow souls who I've come across in my life, and just trying to link everybody in. And I think that was also going on for many, many millions of other people. And that has made a difference. I really feel it. And I feel that that's the point of entry of the spirit into our world. And it's causing the powers that be an awful lot of problem. And they're shouting ever so loudly through their counter... what's that word? Their controlled opposition mouthpieces with little megaphones from Texas.
Yeah. Alex Jones.
So... yeah, so who are you, 2422? I actually had a friend coming in this evening, and he's a follower of Alex Jones, and he's wide-eyed, and, you know, the New World Order's here, and everything's really bad, and I just thought, actually, that's not what I'm hearing. So from what I can understand, it's full bravado mode. And
of course,
there you're going to see Mr. Jones making some really big mistakes soon, and he's going to reveal.
Well, he has already
reveal himself.
He has already
reached his mistakes in 2000 and no, actually, when it turned to 2000, he did a whole show on how the Russians were invading the United States. We need to get in our bunkers. It's audio. It's people can hear this, and they just forget. This is like his Lindsay Jones, where buy my DVD, you'll be saved. I beg you.
Well, I mean, his most recent mistake was last month, I think, kind of early on last month, when he turned around and he categorically stated that Obama. Or Obama, you know, the joke goes, ha, 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 very funny. Let's have a laugh about people being bombed to death. Very funny, I'm sure. Especially good for Sunday lunch conversation, that one. But anyway, he said that Obama had planned to bomb Iraq within two weeks. So that could be any day. So, you know, you better get ready, you better prepare. Well, I'm in the next month now. We can all see what they're planning and leading up to, but they need a lot more cooperation from the people. And now what Alex Jones didn't brag on about was that the services now, as in armed forces, etc., have heard of a leaked document. and the fact that they're all going to be fired, or quite a few of them are going to be made redundant pretty soon. So, you know, Alex Jones just recently has made a big, massive blooper, because it didn't happen in the time space that he said. Whether it's going to or not is irrelevant to me. I'm not even getting into it here nor there. It's here nor there to me. What will be, and all is as it should be right now. But that is the point with Alex Jones with me right there. Last month, big, massive blooper.
Oops. On you go, Tracy. Well, because I know what just happened. We both looked around, said something, realised that our mics were muted, turned around, unmuted our mics, and took a deep breath at exactly the same time. Didn't that happen? On you go, Tracy.
I was just going to say, listen, we will have prophets of doom now. Well, how often do we have them now? We've gone past the six-monthing. Now we're getting them weekly. We're getting people saying the world is going to end on 11-11-11. I can prove it. It's going to end on 11-11-9. I can prove it.
Well, I waited for it with Ellen in. You know, I got the sheets ready. I got the flour. I even got some yeast so that I could put the flour and the yeast on the roof in case we were hit by some sun ray. And then whoever was left over could at least have some bread, right? You know, so I've planned. And I think four times now in the last 4 months, the world still hasn't ended, as I've been told. So there's me waiting for some spectacular thing and to be generous and give bread. And I got white sheets. You know, nothing. Nothing. What's going on?
Well, we keep being inundated by prophets of doom and gloom and disaster.
Who always have been, though. They've always been here. And that's what people don't realise. That they've always been here in one sense or another to make the people fear. Money, finance, and fear are the two main tools they have. Without them, they're lost. And you know what? A new world order is going to be, and they fear it. And as you call them, they're the powers that be. I call them the thugs that be, because we're the power. I know my power. And my power is gentle, and it's simply not complying. So once you learn to not comply to their every wish, and you start working with other energies, for instance, your own would be a good idea. You know, animal spirit energy, flower spirit energy, as me and Tracy were saying the other night there. You know, somebody drew me a beautiful wolf and framed it for me for my birthday present, as if you like. And it's absolutely beautiful. The wolf was one of the first energies with me. So I've never really been in my entire life with the ability to absolutely panic to the state of, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. You know, and which people are doing now. And it's so sad that you're not enjoying life because of this.
That's right. Well, that's part of this is part of the distraction. Because we're distracted to look at, oh well, who did 9/11, and oh well, who you know, why is all this going on, and oh well, who, look at this, these terrible politicians, and out goes the old ones and here comes the new ones, and look, they're worse. Oh, there's a surprise. And and all of these things that
and look
are
how
happening.
Much money they spend.
And yeah, and look how easy they are to hate. Look how easy these people are to hate. I hate them. Go on and hate them. Let's have some of that hate energy, because we really want some of that.
They need it.
All of us across the planet, not by gas. One day, everything would change. If we decided one day not to go to the grocery store, all of us, everything would change. We can have the Occupy Whatever movement we want, But if we chose a movement of one day, all of us, let's not do one thing we don't like, all of us.
Then I'd stay in bed. I think, yeah, maybe, what about one day everybody stays in bed, even the policeman?
Everything would change in that one day. It would, and they would find reasons upon reasons how this was not involved in what we just did.
Things would change dramatically if people didn't have the victim brain state or mind state that they've got.
Well, that's a very interesting problem. That's the programming, isn't it? And
yes.
Actually, I came back and from my journey, and was ranting away at this young lady in the cafe who gave me my change when I was there. Anyway, so but we were talking about. I said, wouldn't it be nice if there was no interest in the banks? And she said, oh, yeah. She was like, first of all, she was all kind of dreamy. Like, oh, yeah. And then her face changed. Oh, but that's not going to happen, isn't it? You know, I'm totally resigned. And I just so called her on it. So we had a great conversation because I said, surely, can't you see that that's programming? You've been programmed to believe that by the people who want to retain your power, and there's such a tiny amount of them, and there's billions of us, and so she very gradually came around to thinking, actually, yes, I look at all the power I have, so I felt like, oh yes, there's my mission, that's my mission for the day, and it was a great little conversation because she turned from someone who was like very resigned to someone who's very optimistic.
Well, it would make a change if she was.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it, really?
So, it's...
Because we don't meet many like that.
No, but, you see, we have to be radioactive. You know, we have to be the atom that splits all the other atoms. We can't be waiting for anybody to come along and do it, because that's what we're here for. That's why we're avidly listening to all these internet radio stations, and like everybody's going, why are you walking around with these headphones on? And you know, I'm listening, I'm learning, man. It's really interesting stuff. No. We're going to the game, all right? We'll see you down the pub. Okay, all right. That's, you know what I mean? It's like, this is the most exciting thing that I could imagine ever happening. You know, global awakening, and to be part of what's going on is even more exciting. And people are just, you know, allowing the time to kind of drift by. And that's what's sad. That's what's sad. What's sad is they're so in their little cubicle. They're in a cubicle in their mind.
They've been put into a zone, into a prison. You know, houses are like prisons, flats are like prisons, cells.
Yeah, people lock themselves in their own prison.
So that they can get your energy.
Yeah, they lock themselves in their own prison. And, you know, it's that old thing, you know, help the police, beat yourself up. We're given prisons in our mind, you know. It started with the church. It started with the Catholics. You know, let's name names.
Play fingers.
Yeah, too right. It started with anyway. The placing of prison bars, because basically anybody who didn't agree, they would kill. So eventually you end up with a bunch of people who are agreeing. Now, whether they're agreeing because they're stupid and they believe it, or whether they're agreeing because they're smart and they're saying they believe it, that's fine. But that's and they know that that's how it works. And the second group of people become involved in the workings of the church, and it becomes more and more and more and more and more corrupt as the years go by. Meanwhile, it starts pretty corrupt in the first place, so... So and these are the people I was chasing, Tracy. That's referring back to a very much earlier conversation.
Not everyone knows, but we're speaking to Merlin right now.
I just like to say that. So we have the powers that be who are running around full of bravadaggio. So is that how you say it, bravadaggio?
Yeah.
Their mouthpieces, their controlled opposition mouthpieces, megaphones, in fact. Interesting. Who are also mouthing off quite a lot at the moment, aren't they? And making mistakes and blowing them, shooting themselves in the foot, I think. And shooting each other in the face, as some other people do. So, energies. Energies. The wave. When I was in London, it was like... when you're at the beach and you feel the sea draw back just before the wave comes, you know, it's, and you can hear the shingle going, yeah. That's what it felt like when I was in London. I felt like, well, I'm glad to be out of here real quick because there's a big wave coming. I don't know how long.
Like London, sorry. I can't handle the energies there. They buckle me. There is something about London that I am the mosquito and that is the repellent.
Mm-hmm.
For absolute sure.
I thought you were going to say, I'm the mosquito and it is the windshield.
No. Oh, absolutely not. In that case, it will be the mosquito and I will be the window pane, I can tell you that. Because there are times when we are the window and they are the fly.
Mm.
And I work with spider energy too, so beware of what they're doing, I would say to the flies around the spider, one who knows his web well.
I can't handle cities anymore. I went to one of my son, who I love and adore, and he's perfect. He's not the worst of me, I'm sure, but he actually is. And it was in Toronto, and Toronto's not a big city as cities go. I can't take it anymore at all. I am so easily overwhelmed now. I'm not sure if I'm more sensitive or just remembering what it was. Because as a child, I was the same, and they even had to take me out of bright lights because I would freak out. But I can't take the feeling in cities. They're moving too fast. They're hardly feeling their humanity anymore.
They're horrible.
See how you felt when you went to London, Jay. Just overwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, I had to be on a bus and in a tube and in an aeroplane. Sort of, it got closer and closer and closer. There's cramming next to other people, and it was fine. But I had a curry too late in the night. You know, it was all a cumulative thing, and probably partly my own fault. But I felt very bad.
Well, I don't feel overwhelmed by London, I must say that I cannot hack literally the way that the energy's there, the electricity, it's just full of it whacking at my frequencies and waves, and it's an overload. I wouldn't say it's overwhelming, it's an overload, and I just do not like the feel of it at all. I know people are very excited, but you know, it probably has excito energy electrically being pumped into you there also, and I won't have that either, so I'm not easily fooled in that respect.
So we're going to have a few minutes in a few minutes time we're going to have a little break at the top of the hour, and we'll come back to this. I'm just looking for a track. So Tracy, you've been tell us a bit more about you know how. Tell us first of all how you got ill, because it's an unusual got ill, because it's not the same as like most people get.
True, I am totally different than most people with MS, and most people have signs for years before they're diagnosed. My husband was a soldier, probably in one of the super soldier projects. He went to Vietnam at 16, believe it or not. His parents thought that would be a good thing for him and signed him off at 16. My husband, when I met him, had been 20 years out of the Army. 20 years. We went to the VA hospital in Buffalo, I'll say the name. We both got a flu shot because Steve, my husband, had a bout of cancer, and with an odd cancer for a man in his 40s, but nonetheless, he had cancer. And we got a flu shot, mostly guilted into it. Long story short, he passed away within 6 months, and I got MS out of the blue. My heritage is Black from Haiti and Native up here in Canada. And in general, we don't get MS. I have no one with MS in my family. As a matter of fact, I was a long-distance runner and used to do triathlons for fun. I did not live a perfect life, though. I was not sitting here meditating and contemplating my navel. I drank, I smoked, I had fun. If I could do all those things in combo, I would. But I was never sick, never, like, seriously ill. No flus, no big things. But when I went in the hospital, within 2 days, I was diagnosed with MS, and I had lesions all over my brain. It's an odd thing, really, because first of all, most people with MS, it takes years for diagnosis. There just happened to be a neurologist, actually one of the head neurologists in Canada, who just happened to be there when I went in. Actually, third time in the hospital, when they took me in and I was in for a month, that's when my husband died. I don't want to say I was injected with something, but I was injected with something. He died, I got MS. And have fought it for so long. 2007, I was diagnosed and was in the hospital for every 3 months, and not just for short visit. In the hospital where they injected me with steroids, huge amount of steroids, antidepressants, even though I wasn't depressed, and Oxycontin. When my husband died, I had no feelings about it, really. I wish I did. I wish I could tell you a sad story that I felt, but I felt nothing. Even when I got the news, I felt nothing. So if you have a neurological disease, I would say that what I've done is got off the drugs and researched alternative things that I could do. And I've done them. And if there is a God, and if spirits go somewhere that they can help you, I felt helped. and started to speak from then on. I had a weird childhood. We've spoken of this, Jay, but I've had a weird childhood and saw things, done things, thought most people could do things, to be honest. But this has given me a bit of time to remember all these things, so maybe really it was a blessing. My grandpa once said, when I was really young, and I used to laugh at it, and I was even talking to Kat about this the other night, but he said, if you don't slow down, your body will knock you down. That's what it took for me, I guess. Where you have to wake up. I guess I had to wake up.
Well, you know, whatever it takes is whatever it takes. So, we're at the top of the hour, and I still haven't found the song that I was looking for. So, I'm going to play something else. I'm sorry?
I'm going to sing a song now.
You won't want me singing a song, I can tell you.
Let's sing a rounding boat of
I'm dyslexic.
You can sing it.
Well, actually, I was going to let's have some Nina Simone.
Oh, lovely.
There you go. Well, I did have a song lined up. Oh, I'll play both of them, all right? So, first of all, we're going to have Nina Simone with How Does It Feel to Be Free? Or How It Feels to Be Free, excuse me. And then we're going to have a track from my old band called Mystery School. the track is called Fascination. And it's a sort of semi-live track. So, anyway, we're going with Nina Simone. We'll be back soon. Sing, 'cause I know how it feels.
see. Every time you look that way, come make my day. Every time you throw that gaze, it's fascinating. To the shake of night, shift into the space and vibe. Move out of the shadow, move out of the shadow, move out of the shadow into the bright light, bright light. It's fascinating.
Struggle for all of us. But what if you could not speak? What if you were reliant on someone else for your very existence? The forgotten ones are our pets. So many dogs are being put down due to their parents not being able to provide for them. Dogs that are trained, fixed, have their shots and are domesticated. Loving dogs, wishing for their new family to come and rescue them. Save the Pets is a volunteer group wanting to help the ones without a voice. If you're a veterinarian, dog trainer, or a loving family that can save a life, please get involved. We need your help. The love you give to your animals is the love the universe gives back to you. Make a difference in the lives of the forgotten ones. For more information, please contact Mugsy mugzzi@yahoo.com. That's mugzzi@yahoo.com. The time is now to adopt a pet.
This is Stuart A. Swerdlow, and you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. We're talking about point of entry tonight, the point of entry of the new consciousness, of the new energies that are moving into our universe, our local pocket of the universe, and probably in our universe in general. One of the things that I've been reading about recently is one of the issues that we have is the fact that our galaxy is actually two galaxies that are colliding one against the other. And the problems that we've been having with all these planets sort of whizzing around is that that's what happens, that as the two galaxies pass through each other, some of the planets get in the way of some of the other planets, really, and where the regressives come from is this other galaxy, which is colliding with ours very, very, very slowly. Incredible. Have you heard of that, either of you?
No, but I'd like you to elaborate on it.
Well,
sure, me too.
Imagine that our galaxy is a frisbee.
Uh-huh.
Right? And imagine you've got another frisbee, and it's flying. Yeah, our galaxy is whizzing along, and at some point, this other frisbee is it intersects the first frisbee, you know, as an angle. Mm-hmm. So one might be, say, horizontal, another one will come in at a slant, almost like a karate chop to the side. But because of the spaces within galaxies, planets and everything will pass across each other. But as one galaxy moves through another, I don't know how you could combine. There's very little in our world where two semi-solid things pass through each other. It's an interesting way of looking at things. It's like something passing through a wall. And the, you know, one of the things that happens is, like in a tornado, you'll have the vortexes are working so much that you'll get a straw embedded into a brick wall, because matter itself is being vibrated, so everything's a little looser, things are a little softer, and you can penetrate a brick wall with a straw. Or all sorts of very strange things happen during these vortex moments. Anyway, so that's what's happening with our galaxy, and they call it Sagittarius B. So basically, the Milky Way and Sagittarius B are colliding, and that's where all the regressive reptiles come from. Or so I hear. Right. Anyone heard that?
Very interesting. Very interesting. Not exactly that way. No, I haven't. It's very interesting, though.
Hmm.
It really is. Another thing that interested me was the, I think it's called the Philadelphia Project.
Oh, the Philadelphia Experiment.
As you said, things go through walls and, you know, straw pierce wall and what have you. You know, it was quite interesting to hear that half a man was through concrete, you know.
And, yes.
They couldn't see his,
what they found.
Very strange. And,
yeah, what they found was that during this time when it was dematerialized, it was literally all the molecules were further apart. And everything was like a mist. And so unless you knew where you were on the ship, you could walk into a space that was previously a bulkhead. When the ship finally recoalesced and came back into resolution and solidified again, those people who were in the bulkheads, because they couldn't see where it was, because everything was like a mist, they were then embedded horribly into the shell of the ship, and it must have been an awful, awful thing to have happen to you.
Yeah, an amazing story. I mean, how on earth these things really are possible is amazing. So, you know, a straw penetrating a concrete wall or whatever, because there is that wobble in the frequency, is even more amazing to me.
Well, yeah.
And also that they've been able to wobble the frequency or play around with the frequency, if you like, to the point where they can make invisibility cloaks or whatever you would like to call them now as well, and the army kind of working with them secretively and what have you. All so very interesting, and all just by quirking frequency slightly.
That's what the Philadelphia experiment was supposed to be in the first place. They were wanting to find a way of simply making things invisible, so they thought, I know, let's run some over unity devices and high frequencies and see what happens. And boom, they disappeared out of our reality, reappeared 20 years later. Some fella fell overboard and reappeared 1,000 years later, 100 years later. Found himself coming back in time from a portal that had been set up as part of the secret space program and secret time travel program. And ended up back in his own time through time travel. And he died a couple of weeks ago, or last week, Al Bielek.
I mean, on one of the shows, a guy connected to these changing times with a Z or a Z, depending on where you come from, the radio that I'm with, Kevin Gallagher, his name is. He's not doing shows with us at the moment, but he will be. But he used to do them connected with us. But he had some very interesting man on, talking about time traveling machines and how they could make a flower regress right back to a bud, you know, interesting little things like that, you know. And this guy was, he's not speaking rubbish, you know. He didn't just get up today and say, oh, I think I'll go on the radio and have a chat about this and make a name for myself, you know. So it really is all happening out there, you know, the twiddle of a few frequencies there. But yes, as you said, when they bang the frequencies hard and heavy, as it were, we get the Philadelphia experiment.
Interesting thing I saw was thermionic valves. You know, valve radios and things like that. We're always taught when you're doing engineering that, you know, you run these valves so that the heaters in them just run very kind of low, you know, just red hot. And they say that, you know, anything more will create unstable results. And what I believe is that in the Philadelphia experiment, they cranked them up. They run them white hot. And that's what they were able to create enormous amounts of energy in incredible frequencies, because they cranked up the heaters to these valves so that they were glowing like light bulbs.
But I can't believe that this was a mistake. I feel that they truly meant to see how far they could go and what the result would be.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking really about egotistical maniacs for one, interbred madness for another. So, you know, this is all fun and games. This is, you know, like a child would feel when it's opening a gift at a special time for itself. You know, this is all child's play to them. This is real fun. This is let's see how much we can really warp things, you know. And you can see that by the mind state, going back to, you know, the beginning of the show there, you know, with how has it been this week, the mind state of the people out there, really, it's, you know, they are being drained and the frequencies are being raked up, as far as I'm concerned, for these people. So, you know, people need to learn their own energy, their own powers, as it were. And I don't mean, you know, let's all start disappearing through walls and wobbling the frequency that much, but, you know, knowing that just saying no, a simple thing like no. When you look at words, their frequencies, obviously, and it's something that I've loved to study for many, many years, but just think of what you're saying. When we say the word yes, if you say yes, okay, there's possibly an excitable tone to it, but when you feel it, it's a forceful and aggressive motion. Yes. When you say no, it's very passive, it's very calm in actual fact. No feels to me like a very positive word. So I'm getting positive and negative in one go. So, I mean, maybe we should think about flipping the energies over and maybe working the complete opposite to the way we have worked for many, many years. I don't know if anybody has a view on that.
Well, that is so interesting. Do you mind, Jay, if I jump in?
Speak up, though. You've gone all quiet.
She's gone down the tunnel again, hasn't she?
She's speaking down that cardboard tube.
Every so often I am grabbed and taken down this path. Is it better?
Yes. Yep.
But stop looking at his rotary saw there in the back of the cupboard.
I'm not looking at anything sharp, but I still hear it. And I hear it in my head, but that could just be my head and I'm good. I'm hearing something. I wonder about that, Kat, because there's so many things that seem to just toss us off balance. When you said no, actually, I feel that it's not an aggressive sound.
It's not. It's a very peaceful, it's very me. Do this, do that. No. But when you say yes, it's kind of a shock noise.
Yeah, and you'd think no would be the hard stop, but it isn't.
No, it's very, very, and you know, I like to make people, if at all I can, see the truth with words and not to fear them. No is a wonderful word in itself. If you say it to the authorities, watch their reaction. They get very, very upset. So, is that a little clue or a sign in itself that maybe we should be saying no?
Wow.
So turning the tables and seeing the opposite way to the way people have used frequencies for many, many years now, Tracy, do you feel that it's time now that they had a change? Swapped around.
What I feel is there's things that we can do that definitely make us feel better. Little tiny, tiny things. Not much. It doesn't take a whole bunch of effort. We, of course, could spend many years and perfect things, but there are things we can do that would make things easier for all of us. But this little simple thing, like no is not a bad word. And how long have we been taught that no is a bad word? We've been taught to say it, but there's still that connotation of no is a bad word that's so heavy. I may take a minute to have to get over that gap because that's a deep thing.
Oh, words. I mean, I love them. To be honest, Tracy, it's kind of like a love-hate relationship, if you like. Got to bring the balance in. But yeah, before you say something to someone else, you know, people need to start, if you like, practicing what they're saying all over again and really put the words out of your mouth and feel the way they feel, because this is what you're hitting people with. Now, if they say, for instance, you need to pay this, are you going to pay it? You can simply say no. When you bring forward your proof of claim that I must, until then, no. You know, you also are so gentle in the way you've just said no, they'll have to question why they're getting annoyed. And if they are not up on what is going on out there, you know, that they're draining people dry of absolutely everything when they shouldn't be, we may just help someone to see, hold on a minute, is she right? She wasn't very aggressive there. Normally when I speak to people and they refuse, we're not refusing. That's a fuse. We are refusing something there. We are putting some input in. If a fuse goes, we don't really like that. The energy goes off. Or if you blow a fuse, you're in a very angry, stressful, frustrated state, which is not where you should be or want to be. So we don't refuse, we simply say no. Until you come forward with your proof of claim, no. You know, and it's kind of laughable, really. You can kind of half laugh with the no word. When you say yes, very rarely, unless you're having a good joke with a friend, very rarely can you put a giggle on the end of that. And they're using the snake energy in there and the ego. E for ego, S for the snake energy, which is part of the DNA, our basic energy. And at the beginning, it has a Y. So why are you saying yes all the time? And what does yes really mean?
And yet it's still a spelling, which is a thing of spell. And the whole thing about pay attention, just going to knock me off my socks there, Kat. Pay attention. How much does attention cost?
My attention costs a lot of money.
Listen, if you talk like that...
Depends on what intention.
This whole chat is going to change. Anyways, can you...
Sorry, I had to mute because I was giggling my head off there. Sorry.
Meanwhile, meanwhile, back at today.
This whole chat's gone change, boy.
You've gone down the corridor again, Tracy, by the way.
Yes, it's down in the back of the cupboard there.
She's caught between two panes of glass.
Tracy. Oh, I thought she dropped something and she was looking in the cupboard for it.
So often someone just grabs me and seems to take me off.
Yeah.
So what's your view on that?
On yes and no. Actually, let's see if I can find it. I know a song about that. A few years ago, I wrote a song called Yes and No. The lyrics kind of go... it's about duality, really, and expectations, and we have expectations placed on us as soon as we're born. There's an old Jewish joke about a woman meeting another woman who's pushing a pram with twins, and it's a Jewish joke, of course, and she says, "How are your children today?" And she says, "Well, the doctor's all right, but the lawyer's not doing too badly." So, it's like the expectations that are placed upon us as to what we'll grow up into, a nice Jewish boy and marrying a nice Jewish girl and having a nice Jewish occupation, whatever. Having a nice occupation nowadays means something different, which is great,
It does, yeah. Well,
occupation, Wall Street.
It's been there quite a while, hasn't it? They've occupied many places over the years. So I think it's been there since history began, to be honest.
So so you're asking me what exactly?
Do you feel that in reality, some kind of reality, whatever reality it may be,
is reality? You're realizing my reality.
Time, that moving swiftly on from that technical problem. But it's time that
I think I should bring this up. Off with the fluffy thing that was on my mic.
They like that.
He'll get much more enjoyment than you will.
I guess. Just tear it up right in front of me. Look, I found your thing.
That's why you have. That's why we hear your breath all the time. Is because your cat steals your windshield.
He did.
Yeah.
So. What was I looking for? Oh, yeah, I was going to pick up yes and no. But, I was saying about yes and no, and essentially, there's a line in it, and I think it sums it up what my attitude is. It's, there's a... where is it? It's a digital... I'll just see if I can remember the lines. It's a digital thing. Is it false or true? I don't know the answer, but it's up to you. You're not guilty of what your parents said in their loving way, but it shaped your head. Get a job, earn a living. But I don't know what it is I'm supposed to be giving. And that's about where I got got to, and I wrote that just before I decided to retire at the age of 30, thinking I've had enough of this rubbish. You know, I didn't know exactly what was wrong with it, but I knew that there was something very, very wrong with this kind of whole 9-to-5 life. And, you know, the people that I'd worked with, I quite enjoyed the work that I did. I was very lucky, actually. I did things that I did enjoy, which is I was creative and working with computers and giving people advice, and it was just perfect. But there was a point when it all changed, and I saw things differently, and that started my path towards this, really, I suppose, in the end. That was 20 years ago. But I've still got all the music that I made then and some of the music that I make now, and maybe I'll make a publishing. I've published some of them. They're on the web.
Listen to that. It's a wonderful poem or a story in itself.
Mm.
And that it shows that there was signs way back when with you that you really need to get out there and be telling people truth, letting them hear truth, and at least at the very least giving them an opportunity to accept and embrace and take on board truth to make changes that are needed for them. So I think, you know, it's a wonderful stepping stone that you're on now.
Mm. Yeah, so I've got some other tracks from it as well, but I had the idea, you know, it was a bit of a messiah complex thing, you know, let's go out and tell the truth and reveal the secrets of the mystery schools. That's what the idea of the band was, or that was my idea of the band. But it's a very esoteric audience, really, you know, it's not a particularly popular.
But the truth is that once, because we're all given a wonderful message to share, that once you take on that it's about you, you know, you're the messiah and you're giving the message, and you've stepped into some kind of title or coat or person, whatever it might be, that you thought, oh, I'm the special one, this is about me because I'm the one with the message.
Yeah.
I'm the one here to expose everything, to save everyone because I'm the savior kind of thing. Once you have that, you need to shift from there and say, do you know what? It's not about me. It's about the message. And you know what? It becomes a much easier life, don't you, to agree that you can just step back and say, oh, this isn't about me. This is about a message that I have to help people, because we're talking about energies, basically, to get back with their own energies, you know, be them, as people like to call them, the chakras or the auras, as I call them, energy, human energy balls, if you like, or fields or whatever, but it's our frequency. Once you realize it on a very, very simple level, everything becomes smoother and more simple.
Well, if you've checked out my shows, that's most of what I'm talking about. I talk about the rays, and they have a correspondence in all different areas and all different levels and all different dimensions. It's just basically the same thing. So you could say in one wave band it corresponds to the rainbow. In another wave band it corresponds to the piano scale. But it's the same thing, and that's what we call the seven rays. And
I have heard your shows before. Yeah. Very, very, yeah, very interesting, because I'm extremely interested in frequencies and bands and, you know, hertz and kilohertz, megahertz and kilohertz. Do people not get that in itself? You know, kilohertz, does it make you wonder? Megahertz, possibly it could. Does it make you wonder?
Gigahertz? Do you get? can you play all night? So, giving back to the gig. Let's. I found the tape. This is called Yes and No, and it was recorded 20 years ago, something like that, by the Mystery School.
Yes and no takes the form of a thousand things, like do you answer when the telephone friends in a similar way. Just want to say there are one or two games you don't have to play. This isn't fantasy, this is silent sanity. You better listen up, it's gonna be calamity. This isn't fantasy, this is silent sanity. You better listen up, it's gonna be calamity.
So there you go, there's the Mystery School with Yes and No. And I just realized that, you know, not that I'm a control freak or anything, but, you know, I was playing the harmonica, I was playing the guitar, I was singing on it. Mental. It's just because we didn't have a decent harmonica player, and so I just made do. Yeah, just fill in.
Jack of all trades, as they say, and shows that you're very determined.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I find that I do what I can to achieve the result, no matter what. If the materials that I don't have, I'm not going to. Lack of materials is not going to stop me. I'll fabricate something, you know. I'll just take something else and snap it and cut it and bend it and make it fit and make it do the job.
MJ, I can't blame you for that. If there are not perfect things around me, I work my butt off until they are.
Yeah.
It will be my fault that things are not perfect. I did wrestle back the fluffy thing on the end of my microphone, just so you know.
Yeah, we can hear less poop now.
Excellent. So yeah, so there's my little song. You know, I get up in the morning and I go to work and I use my head until it starts to hurt, and I go home, eat and watch TV, and I'm wasting time, if you're asking me. I mean, I love those, making those lines. They it feels so cathartic to write that out. Yeah, that's
so true.
And because I used to come home every night with a headache. You know, I was a computer programmer, and I worked in a very interesting place in it was called the Institute of Child Health, which was the back end of the Children's Hospital in Great Ormond Street, which is a very world famous hospital for children, and it was they probably did experiments in the dark in the thing, but anyway, at that time it was a great place to work. There's some fascinating people and relatively interesting work. But I did used to come home every night with a headache, and most of my work was kind of head oriented, and I didn't do much physical work, and I knew I needed to get my hands doing things more. I had the sense of non-permanence. Writing computer software is a soul-destroying thing, because you've spent all this time, all your precious time, writing these pieces of code, which at the time were working for a computer, which would become obsolete in a fixed period of time. You know, I knew that in 5 years they were going to replace this computer. And I really started to get quite depressed about it. And I realized that it was because the work that I was doing wasn't going anywhere. It was happening in the moment, which is great, you know, all right, living in the moment. But there was no permanence to it.
And you're seeing no tangible fruits to your
labor. Yes. Well, worse than that is that everything that I did went to waste. You know, maybe it was used, maybe it was of use, but it was of no lasting use.
Do you feel that way now?
Of what I did then? Absolutely, yeah. It was completely ephemeral. But
that you learned anything from it?
Well,
did it not have any signs for you there? Was there?
It was finished. I managed to squeeze all the good stuff out of it by the time I finished. I worked there 10 years altogether. In University College and in the Child Health, but it was a day when I just came out of Russell Square Station, walked across the road, and halfway across the road, the thought entered: sod this for a game of soldiers. I just thought that I don't need to do this anymore. This is no longer necessary to do, and that was 20 years ago. And
so what did you carry forward from that, do you think, to today with the learning? We're talking about the experience learning, the intellectual growth.
Oh, there was loads of stuff that I did there. There's loads of stuff. I mean, everything is in my life was a preparation for the now. And one of the great things is the ability to solve problems in a intuitive and creative way, I don't know what it is about me, but people always ask me for the answer. They ask me for questions. Why doesn't this work? And for some very, very bizarre reason, they ask the right person, because I've got this intuitive ability to see where something doesn't work. I would look at the code, you know, which is to most people gibberish, and I would see this kind of, I don't know, it was like a disturbance in the ether where I was looking, and I would point to that and say, is this all right? Because to me, just like in my vision, I wouldn't see it properly. It would be fuzzy. Something didn't lock in, and I would point to it, and 9 times out of 10, that was the place where the bug was, where they'd misspelt the grammar, or you know, they'd done the syntax wrong. So I discovered that very interesting thing, which I use for proofreading and all sorts of things now. It's very handy finding out.
You know, I would absolutely love you to have a conversation like this with one of my friends, a guy called Trevor Owlsley.
Is it Clever Trevor?
Talking. Could be.
Knock me down with a feather, Clever Trevor.
He is extremely clever, that's for sure. But we were talking about codes just a little while ago, but in a slightly different way to the way that you...
When I refer to code, it's the technical term for formatted text that you use to write computer programs.
Yes, yeah. Like arrow, BR, sorry, the... arrow type thing.
Yeah, VR. you know when you know, your computer, when your software goes wrong, and suddenly you're presented with lines of stuff, or when you look behind a web page, that's code. Mm. And there's lots of different languages.
So your codes and his codes would be interesting for people to listen to, because for me, they're both relevant. They both have meaning. They both really show us the frequencies that things are running on. As you say, you know, you can look at this, and if the code isn't quite right, you can see that there's a wobble here somewhere. Mm. You know, and Trevor, the same thing. You know, he's had these codes given to him from wherever we get our information from, the energy that's guiding us, and it's just all very interesting. And I think you and he would have a really interesting chat about codes and different bits and bobs.
Well,
very interesting.
So cool, Jay, that you did that. And I completely understand, even with my outrageous combination of backgrounds, too, you with the computers and the music, me with my robotics and automation and hairdressing of all outrageous combinations.
You should make robots.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
I used to. That's what I did.
Yeah, I mean, androids.
I did. I made them.
You made androids.
I made androids. I was working at the Perimeter Institute that Hawkins went to. Mm. To talk. I worked at that institute. That's 20 minutes away from my house.
Cool.
That was one of the places I went to.
Wow. There's another conversation.
And then here we are.
You see how you three, you...
Us three? You're seeing double again?
Yes.
All right.
You two and Trevor, how you would get on with your codes and your own engineering, as it were, because Tracy was an engineer. You were kind of a technical engineer.
Trevor is an engineer
of his own kind. So a triangular or three-way conversation there with the engineering that...
Kat, have you...
But it's, I'm sorry, a great show in itself.
Sorry, you disappeared there.
A weird cutting of nothing there.
Yeah.
What did you say, Kat?
No, I'm just saying that the three-way conversation that would be there, or whatever you would like to call it, show, it would be fantastic. You know, a show that I said, sorry, listeners or viewers or whatever we are, you know, but it would be a great thing to listen to.
Well, you can always...
that, because you've got three, one engineer, Yeah, oh, definitely. I'm going to hook
this up. Always invite us onto your show, and we'll talk about stuff.
Oh no, I mean him coming on yours as well, and I can air it anyway. Yeah. As I am.
The three of us can.
Now on these chat times. Yes.
So definitely. Anyway. Back to the moment. We got 10 minutes to go.
We can
so.
See how passionate we are about energies, can't we?
Yeah, we are, and it's so. It sounds like completely different topics, different headings, different sites, but here we are together.
It's all the same thing. So, yeah. CME last week, boom. Pfft. It's been doing a lot of that. And I'm feeling a really big one coming on.
Me too.
I had a headache. I was knocked out on Friday. I think it was Friday when a big one erupted. And there's another one that's just kind of forming as they can see the filament stretching right across the sun. Now, if you've got any idea of how big that might be, imagine that and then expand that about 1,000 times bigger, right? Because the sun is unbelievably huge compared to the Earth. And this filament, magnetic filament, is uncoiling right now as we speak. And when it snaps back, it's either going to crash back and there'll be one hell of a solar emission, because this thing is like a belt across the side of the sun. Like a shoulder strap. It's huge. Have you either of you seen this one?
No.
Right. I'll see if I can find it somewhere. But if you look on spaceweather.com, they're talking about it. It might have already splashed back by now. And then we'll see what happens. See, well, either one end comes loose and it kind of flails and twists around, and bits come off it and fly away, or it slaps back, splashes back into the surface of the sun, and that would, if it was kind of whole as a long filament, it would slice something in the top of the corona, and all sorts of stuff would then kind of be pouring out. And that would be a massive, massive coronal mass ejection, which may well be one of those satellite killer jobs. If not, you know, a lot of computer issues have been happening recently. And
huge.
And I think we have to be aware that these emissions have no... there's very little that stops them, you know. It's like they're highly energetic, and they're like radiation, and the only thing that stops them is like lead. And so they'll go straight through the side of your computer and straight through the chip if it just happens to be that way. You know, something gets fried, or it might go through the sound card, or it might go through the video card. All sorts of weird things have been breaking down recently.
You know, Jay, I'm not sure I mentioned to you, but I think there was another explosion in the Van Allen belt because of the weird auroras that were seen all the way to Texas a couple weeks ago. The last time that happened was an explosion set off in the Van Allen belt in 1958.
Yeah.
And it's been documented. They're actually admitting they did it, and actually admitting this is the only time it's happened again, but not saying they blew up anything. Although that Russian probe that was going to Phobos couldn't make it past that belt. I still think I'm right on this. I've got nothing to back it up other than hearsay and a man who did come on a radio station a month and a half ago saying that they did set off nukes to just sit up there. I think, for some reason, now what happens when you set off a bomb there, basically, doesn't hurt us, but it causes false belts. And it causes them for 2 or 3 months. So if they thought anything was incoming to Earth, it wouldn't make it past that. Pretty much anything we know of could not make it past more than three belts.
That's their idea anyway.
Perhaps.
Well, that's a possibility too. It may be set off by a solar flare. The other thing that I was wondering is that it might be the remnant of the destruction of the comet Elenin entering the Earth's peripheral zone.
Or they put something up there so it wouldn't.
Or something. We'll maybe find out one day.
Something definitely happened.
Something definitely did, and it is. And I mean, even what we're doing here now tonight, you know, streaming to the site that I'm on, you know, for me, this is all exciting and new. You know, it really, really is. I'd like to give everybody a shout there as well and thank you for their support and stuff, because it really is important that we support each other, you know, and this is what we need to be looking at nearer to home, you know, bringing back the community and the togetherness once more.
So on that note, thanks for reminding me, Kat, because I've built up the Wolf Spirit Radio website, and everybody can have their say. Now, we've got show hosts, and show hosts have their own blog entries, as well as you know, the show listings and things like that. But we also have a forum, so that as many listeners as can be can also have their say and place their feedback and ideas. And it would be nice to build a great little wisdom community where we are all able to be fully informed, because this is the whole trick of this thing. The way we've been tricked is that we haven't been fully informed about what's going on, and so what we think is going on is the opposite of what is really going on. I can't explain this very well. However, come to the forum.
We've been tricked into separation.
Yeah, exactly. Come to the forum. I'll approve you straight away, as I do every few days. And then start posting, I'm really leaving it completely open. And once a few posts have gone up, I'll start grouping them together once I see how things are coming out. So it's really very much an organic situation here, and you can have as much influence as I can. The idea is that I set things up and then let everybody go, you know, go and do what they do. We'll keep building it. We'll keep building up the archives. We'll keep building up the wisdom base, which is interesting things that we've learned from our guests and others. Potentially the forum can be an entry route into becoming guests. People who may have small reports can become kind of an associate journalist, and we'll throw those into our automatic player, so that you know, people can submit reports of their own and they become like a journalist or a correspondent. You don't have to do a whole hour or 2 hour show. You can just do like a 10 minute slot or a 5 minute slot, however long you want. So let me know if you're interested. And so, Tracy, and Kat, and everybody in the chat room, and everybody listening on Wolf Spirit Radio, and everybody listening on what's your
these
name?
These
changing times.
Radio. Yes. .ning.com.
.ning.com. Yeah.
That's right. And people can come and do the same thing on there, and we can all get together and start sharing the sites and building a real network of wisdom,
yeah.
I feel. So I would like everybody to thank everybody, I mean, that's given me the support on TCT, the live stream that we're going out on now. And I'm, you know, it's an honor to be airing your show also, and it's an honor to be here. So
yes.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for that. And I'd like to thank everybody who's come to listen, and everybody who's listening on the archive. From me, Tracy and Kat, good night. Beyond.